Hello and welcome to Pedagodzilla, the pedagogic podcast with the pop culture core on tour. I am your host, Riggedy Diggedy Mike Collins, senior learning designer at the Open University and a man who has made a bit of a rat's nest of a table with microphones and wires. We are at the Open University Library for the LDS Link event. And in this mini-series, we've taken the opportunity to ask attendees about the books they've learned from and how we learn from books more broadly. To answer this, I am joined by my guests.
Steve Stiles.
Steve Stiles and...
Daphne Chang.
Steve, what brings you to LDS Link today? What's your role? What do you do at the university?
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks for inviting me here today. I'm an editorial production manager at the Open University. So we oversee the production of all of our editorial services as part line management and as part projects that we work on. Prior to a career at the Open University, though, I was a secondary school teacher. So I used to teach English and media studies and did that for about 12 years.
So Steve and I talk pedagogy from time to time. We nerd out on that good pedagogic stuff. I felt like I was almost drifted into saying something quite seedy there for a second. And and Daphne, like, obviously, what brings you today? What's your role?
I'm a staff tutor. I'm based in the STEM faculty. Half of my work is academic related. So I write modules, materials. The other half of my role is management related. I look after tutors and I recruit them, I staff develop them, etc.
So I've worked with quite a few staff tutors over the last sort of 6 or 7 years working as a learning designer. And I mean, Daphne, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but staff tutors seem to be the busiest people in the entire university because they line manage about 97,000 tutors each while also authoring materials and doing lots of development stuff and generally being kind of like a full-blown academic at the same time.
Yeah, I think in short, but I wouldn't say 97,000. Is that what you're quoting?
No. It seems like loads.
Yes. I mean, there are loads. Yeah. And there's a lot of, it's quite diverse. The role is very diverse.
Yeah. I mean, actually, this is a pretty good opportunity. I guess, obviously, this is going out to the public, and not a lot of people will know how the university works, but when you sign up to an Open University course, you don't just get a box full of books in the mail anymore, or a CD full of internet in the mail, but you get a tutor assigned as well. You get somebody who's actually going to help you navigate this thing.
Yeah, we do. And in the past, we also had tutors too, but tutors are somebody there to facilitate students' learning. Students have any questions, they can contact their tutors, or they're running into difficulties with learning, tutors can help them as well. So they are first port of call, basically, for the university.
Your pedagogic pal.
Well, yes, I would say so. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I love it. So in this series of conversations, we are talking about books that we love and the books that we've learned from and how we learn from books more broadly. So just to kick us off, if you could completely wipe a book from your mind, erase it from your memory and then read it for the first time again, what would that book be?
Oh, that's an incredible question, I think. And because in some ways on multiple reads, I think you pick up more and more and a novel becomes richer or whatever it is that you're reading because you sort of accrue this knowledge around it. Mm. So although I think you have that first impression of something which would be... the reason why you wanted to read it again and again, you could experience it in a fresh way. You then perhaps lose some of that knowledge that you built up around it to appreciate some of the nuances that exist in that. One that I'd wipe from my mind to read again is probably Lord of the Flies by William Golding.
Oh, strong choice.
Yeah, and that's because I taught it so much when I was in school. I started to intone the novel rather than read it out loud to sort of, successive cohorts of students. But it's also the reason why I started with what I did, because it was one of those novels that became richer and richer the more that you read it and the more they picked up from it. So I would say that.
That's the first time that we've had somebody give that answer of, I've done this one so much that I can read it by rote, so I wouldn't mind forgetting it. I'd say the same about Harry McClary, which is my daughter's favourite book to be read to her at the moment. And Daphne, how about yourself?
I have a lot of choices, actually. I think I'll have to nominate Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Oh, yes.
Because I used to study English literature when I was much younger, and study English literature as sort of second language person. It was really difficult to begin with, but that was the first book I was asked to read as an English major person. And I have found it really powerful at the time. But without knowing why it was really powerful, I was really concentrated on analysing the text, analysing literature sort of techniques and what have you at the time, but nevertheless, I still found it really powerful. But now, having, you know, being a mother for many years, and I think I've now would read it with a very different feelings and thoughts and experiences. So I would say Frankenstein.
That's such a lovely example. I mean, Frankenstein in itself is a really interesting book to read, just knowing anything about Mary Shelley.
Yeah.
The wild and wacky life she lived.
Like, didn't she?
Yeah, she was a character. She hung around with some other characters, I suppose.
And her mother and her father.
I forgot about that, yeah. And yeah, the whole sort of the set of
yeah, it.
You,
yeah,
you very much kind of get the themes of her life coming through in the book. It's it's incredible. Obviously, you know, spoiler alert, it's not a happy ending for the monster. So thinking now about what we learned from books more broadly, can you give me an example of just the best thing that you've ever learned from a book? It could be a scrumptious knowledge nugget that you've taken away and have found extra succulent, or just perhaps one of those little aha moments where it's changed how you perceived something, or even just an idea that you've taken away from a book that has really stuck with you.
I think that's a really difficult question, depending on what books you'll be reading. You know, I think I've experienced all those emotions, as you've just listed. And I think that the most precious or maybe most interesting things I get out of a book is very much the opportunities to reflect, you know, and I read something, maybe it's a new knowledge, or maybe, you know, I could be reading something really scientific about how people produce COVID vaccines, but if I put it down and think about the implications that has to our lives, to our health, and I think it's that opportunities that reading gives us to reflect on how the world means to us, how our life means to us, etc. I think it's that opportunity that I found really interesting by reading, generally speaking.
I love that. I love that as an answer. Steve, help yourself.
Yeah. I think something quite similar, which is that when we look at literature that stands the test of time, I think it's because there's something within that literature that appeals intrinsically to our human nature. So it's the reason, I think, why Shakespeare continues to be as popular today as it ever has been. And that's because it's speaking to something as who we are as people. So though you can take the text out of the time, the themes that are explored are the same things that we deal with today. And I think the same emotions that we deal with today, because we've all been in situations where we felt like we've been treated unfairly, or something hasn't happened that we wanted to, or we've been in love with somebody perhaps we shouldn't be. All those kinds of emotions really and feelings are evident within his plays in such a powerful and effective way. So I think that's the lessons really, is when you look at something, is does it speak directly to you, and will it speak to generations after me as well?
Mm. So when we're thinking about books, obviously learning from them and drawing from them and using them as a space to inspire reflection and to transport us and to have connect us with a sort of timeless elements and timeless experiences, considering it from an education perspective, what do you see as the place of books in traditional education?
Do you mean printed books, or do you mean e-book?
That's a damn good question. Would it be a different answer?
Intuitively, I have to think about it a bit more, but intuitively, I think we generate a different physical experience when you touch a book, when you flip the pages, when you go backwards and forwards, when you think, I missed something, I want to go back and check. I think that's a different experience compared to if you were to read an e-book. Because that flipping
the haptic quality,
And also the tactile experience of touching a book. I think it's quite evocative sometimes. If you touch a book that you read, I think to me anyway, if I touch a book I read as a youngster, I could immediately remember what I was doing when I was touching it for the first time. So it's that association, I feel it might be different compared to an e-book. I've been on Kindle for many, many years now, simply because I think it's quite useful for my eyesight, you know, growing old. You still get the knowledge, you still get the reading part, but it doesn't evoke the same tactiles and physical experiences.
Isn't there, I could be misremembering this, but wasn't there a study done a while back basically showing that people who engage their motor skills while they learn, I want to say it might be in one of the Open University Innovating Pedagogy reports, could be wrong about this, but something like if you're engaging your motor skills while you learn, it was either like more brain activity or people retain the information better or something like that. It was something to do with interacting with your hands with what you're learning. Helps it kind of, I guess, as you say, deepens your relationship with it. And also, I know exactly what you mean with that kind of being transported. I've got a couple of really natty paperbacks that I bought brand new when I was very young, and I've read to death. And even now, I know, like, the back of my Terry Pratchett books, I know that if I feel my fingers on the spine of those, they're basically just dust at this point. They're dust held together with old binding glue. Like the illustrations have long since worn away, but I know that exact feeling as soon as you said it. So yeah, I love that. Steve?
Yes, I think books as artifacts is definitely a thing. And like you were saying, we've all had those experiences where you put, you know, pull a book off your shelf and you transport something you did with it. You know, and I've got strong memories of a copy of Legend by David Gemmell, which is a fantasy author. And I remember at the time I was doing this very long commute to London on the train, and I was reading it, and the story is about it's about a siege, essentially, of a castle, a little like the Two Towers from Lord of the Rings. But because my days were grueling and the characters in the novel were going through a grueling experience, for some reason it has this quality outside of the story itself, which was related to my personal experience at the time. So I do think it has that way to be a sort of artifact which absorbs experiences, and it takes you to different places too.
An artifact that absorbs experiences, which sounds like something from a fantasy series.
Harry Potter, yeah.
But also, that's a lovely way of... sorry, we're getting some lovely answers to this. This is all going to turn into a blog post at some point, by the way. People are giving some really interesting responses to this. Right, I'm going to let you both go in a minute with my thanks so much for sitting and recording with me. But first, just quickly, what's been your highlight of the day so far?
It's just being here, you know, just being able to be here personally and meet so many colleagues who I normally just see from a little screen of my computer.
It's like, oh, you're 3D.
And be able to participate in things like this. It's been great. Really, really good, yeah.
Seeing you, Mike.
Oh, Steve. See, Steve gave the correct answer.
Oh, shame.
Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you to you too, listeners, for listening. You can find all of our recordings from the event at pedagogzilla.com. And if you work at the OU, on the LDS link intranet page. Thanks so much to Steve. Thanks so much to Daphne. And I've been Mike. Thanks so much to me as well. I probably should have started that more elegantly. But either way, it's goodbye from us with much love. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.